Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience, and of course our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have everyone connecting with us on Facebook and communicating with us every day. But I want to introduce to you the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, sir.
Hello. My goodness. I just saw you guys a second ago, it seems.
Yeah, blinking. Maybe. There you are again.
Here we
good
are.
To see you.
Good to see you.
How are you doing?
Steve, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. John? Yeah, John.
Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. Pat?
You're looking good.
Hey. You too, my friend. You too.
Been working out? You look tight there.
No. A little, but, you know.
Sure, it looks kind of swollen. What's going on there?
Swollen.
See, what happens is that, you know, when you eat more, the shirts get tighter.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
That's typically what happens. I always say something's wrong with the belt and something's wrong with my belt till I realize, belt's too small. But that's another story for another day. But today we have an encouraging program for you today. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are happening in the world today, God's news behind the news, as well as the blessedness of possessing nothing. The chapter 2 in A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, awesome, great book. I recommend it. But he has a chapter 2 called The Blessedness of Possessing Nothing. It's something that really touched me the very first time I read it, I guess, 15 years ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's all about how although Abraham was a amazingly wealthy man, God bless him so much, he understood mm-hmm. that his true riches were eternal and internal. And if we have Christ, we have everything. And so we're mm-hmm. not going to talk about the book, but we are going to talk about the blessedness of possessing nothing and being possessed by nothing. You know what I mean? And living a simple life for God, unhindered, without any kind of things to pull us down from going hard after the Lord. Also in the news, Steve, I don't know if you saw this, but Yahoo, okay, and I believe Google as well, removed pro-life ads from abortion clinic searches. Get this. Weeks after Google, and this is the Christian Post is reporting, after Google pulled pro-life ads from its abortion clinic's search results, Yahoo has also followed suit after being petitioned by the pro-choice groups, NARAL, whatever, I don't know what that is. That's the name of their group. But basically what was going on is that people that were searching in Google and Yahoo for mm-hmm. abortion clinics, on the right-hand side, you have these ads that pop up.
Right.
Well, those ads that were popping up were for pro-life. And apparently this group was saying, hey, take that off of there. Take that off of there. And Google and Yahoo caved in.
And did it.
I mean, what happened to free speech? Whatever happened to the opportunity of giving people the opportunity to find out more?
Mm-hmm.
Free speech. And yet they were allowed that information to be censored. It's like, man, woe to the person who removed that.
Yeah.
How do you do that? And so the policy goes on to say that Yahoo's policy states that ads basically that contradict what the search is about needs to be removed. And they always find a loophole for something.
Mm-hmm.
But it just causes you to say, man, do you want to, you know, have your hands? This is the just the crazy thing about the whole thing is that, you know, that you want to remove, those type of ads you want to remove to end murder. But all the other filth and all the other garbage that's advertised through these websites, that for some reason is morally okay with mm-hmm. you.
It doesn't fall under
any kind of policy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, and it's like, come on. We're talking about 50+ million babies that have been murdered since 1973, Roe versus Wade. And, you know, hello, their blood still cries out. And here recently, CBN reported, and Israel, and they're continuing to report that what's happening in Detroit is an absolute tragedy. Because right now they say that abortions are rising in Detroit like a third world country. Not only has this city been bankrupt, not only, I mean, you're talking about Motown, you're talking about where we built cars, automobiles, the second most expensive purchase you'll ever make in your life outside of your home. It's something that if you buy brand new, you're going to be committed to no matter what, a minimum of 5 years. And if you're not so lucky, they'll work you out for seven, you know, and just had to be bailed out. And you just look at what's happening there. It's just incredible. They're saying right now that around one third of all pregnancies end in abortion in Detroit.
Wow.
One third. This is according to the Detroit News. The city's abortion rate has been steadily climbing, hitting 31% in 2012. That's huge. 31%. You have a pie that's cut into to three slices. That means one of those slices of this pie is just being destroyed.
Yeah.
And it just causes you to say, man, what is happening? And so they're talking about how Detroit News is saying that they did a study and it's calling it the most dangerous city in America to be a child. The most dangerous city in America to be a child is in Detroit because you don't even have a chance to make it out of your mother's womb because a third of them are being murdered. And we talked about in a previous segment, and hopefully we'll have this related for you, where the most dangerous place for a baby at all, it's statistics are proving, is in the womb. And because the chances of a baby now being, you know, aborted, although all the laws that are being passed and God's answering, you know, a lot of prayer, and we're very grateful for that, there is that the pendulum is swinging. You're still seeing these pockets, you know, it has to spread. It's like a momentum that's starting to happen. But, you know, as soon as you hear some great victories in other areas and other states, you still are open to what's happening in other areas. And so we want to encourage you. You know, we want to encourage you today to continue to pray for life. Continue to pray that laws are going to be passed that are going to protect life. I mean, right now, Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana
Governor,
he's actually expected to sign a bill into law this week, Pat, that would force at least three of the state's five abortion clinics to close. And wow. So you're seeing this happen in different parts of the country. We're just saying, Lord, you know, we've been praying this prayer for quite a while. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. And we want to encourage you to pray along with us. This blood, you know, is still crying out, and we need to cry out for mercy, and we need to cry that this stops, and together we can join, in prayer. The prayers, of a righteous man are powerful, effective, and listen, if one can send two to flight, two can send 10,000, you know, and we have the prayer of agreement, together we can do more, and we can stand against this, and we can see the tide turn. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it okay for employees to keep religious items on their desk? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
My question is, my workplace was asked me last night to take down a Christian calendar of mine, and they gave the answer that it's Home Depot property, I guess the wall, and wanted me to take it down. I just wondered if this is right.
Well, Angie, it depends on the policies of the employer. For instance, some employers say you have to have certain types of things displayed in the workstations, and they're very limited and very suspect as to what those will be. Others are much broader. And some, in a situation when it's usually a religious sentiment, and it may even be, you know, a situation where they think that if you have up a calendar that has a Bible verses on it, they might think that they're somehow violating federal law. You have the right to have that material out there.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m., to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ, and just hearing ourselves from the Lord, and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat. And before the break, we were talking about abortion and what's happening in Detroit. We want to encourage you to make sure to catch us at VFNTV.com. Don't forget that we are four programs back to back. And of course, you can always watch us on CTN and check your local listings in the Gulf Coast. Now, we want to jump right into, you know, the blessedness of possessing nothing and the true value in living a life that is free from clutter and free from the things that rob us from our opportunity to go after God. Mm-hmm. And in America, we have such a tremendous problem with that. You know, I remember sharing to whom much is given, much is required. And some of those statistics were alarming, because what I found was that of all the storage companies, I believe that 90% of them are in the United States. All those places, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that we have our stuff that is stored in, you know, our junk basically that we have in our storage facilities, live in better climate-controlled places than some people live in the entire world. I mean, our junk is air-conditioned. Mm-hmm. We're air-conditioned, you know, some people not even be able to get that in their land, you know, in their own mm-hmm. house. And so it really causes us as a believer to start to evaluate, you know, to separate the gospel, you know, from what we maybe have allowed it or seen it develop in the West, and I'm speaking about in America, where it just so gets intertwined and we just put it together and it's like, okay, you have the gospel in America and it's wealth and it's supposed to be this way. And it's like, wait a minute. No, let's just have Jesus only. Okay, he's Jesus only, the gospel only, and let's not mix it with anything else. And I came across an interesting article. This was published in Slate Magazine, and it's about these young men, and I guess, I don't know if this is a movement, but young men who basically wrote a book on their quest to be a minimalist. It's called a new memoir, When You Get Rid of All Your Stuff. Hmm. When You Get Rid of All Your Stuff. And the authors are Joshua Fields Milbourne and Ryan Nicodemus. Yep, Nicodemus. And they're best friends, and they grew up in Dayton, Ohio. And basically both of these young men, these gentlemen were working unfulfilling six-figure corporate careers.
Oh, wow.
So six figures means you're at least making $100,000, right. Okay? Six figures. And at the age of 30, they decided to shed all of their belongings and start a popular blog about embracing simplicity. Now, let me tell you something. I think we can extract some ideas and just, mm-hmm. Talk about this a little bit. But, they're now going on like on a circuit, 100-city tour now, 100-city tour to promote Everything That Remains. Mm-hmm. Okay? This article didn't say whether these young men were Christian or not. This wasn't anything that I read that was prompted by Christianity. So this is just something that they're doing. Mm-hmm. But it caused me to really, really think about what it is that they're doing in their own life. And mm-hmm. what they include in this article, Steve, is an excerpt. And Joshua starts saying that, I started small, and I asked myself, what if you removed one material possession, just one, from your life each day for a month? What would happen? The result was that I unloaded way more than 30 items in the first 30 days. It became a kind of a personal challenge, mm-hmm. and discovering what I can get rid of and of what I can get out of my way and how many unneeded things I can remove from my hoard. I searched my rooms and closets and cabinets and hallways and cars and office, rummaging around for items to part with, retaining only the things I needed. Pondering each artifact in my apartment, I asked simple questions like, does this thing add value to my life? I learned that once you gain momentum, once you feel the benefits of removing the clutter from your life, embracing minimalism gets easier day by day. And I thought, interesting. Very good. Mm-hmm. So he goes around and starts writing more, and he talks about how you can begin to start decluttering. And he says Americans are really good at that. We know how to get rid of junk and throw things away, and that's fine. And then we get to a place where we reorganize and reorganize, mm-hmm. and what we're doing is just reorganizing more of our junk. Mm-hmm. get rid of junk and just repositioning other junk. And I heard him say this, and I've said this before. I'm always great. I always love to hear the what messages. Those are great. This is the what. Got that. I know Paul is, I get it, Paul and Silas, we're together, sure. But give me the how, what I'm saying? Give me the why, And he talks about why the decluttering is important. He says if you don't understand why you need to declutter, then you're just going to, go back to collecting more junk, which I think this is important. He talks about that it's just not about getting rid of stuff, right? But it's about moving things, why you want to move things out of your way. For a believer, obviously, we're going to have significant value in why we're going to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. But he just talks about just great things like, being able to make room for a relationship and making mm-hmm. time to enjoy things of life and get outside the box. I mean, we actually shared a segment about looking up and not about this video that we have, and make sure this is related for you. Where social media today, people are so lost in digital devices. You talking about physical clutter. We have a digital clutter problem. Mm-hmm. We have a digital clutter problem that is just attacking us on every front, and you're just being bombarded with all of this stuff. And it's like, it's time to look up from the social media apps and get off of the iPhones and get off the iPads for a while and just, look up. Look at, smell the flowers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the sky. Look in someone else's eyes and say hello.
Look at the person next to you.
Yeah. Acknowledge that they exist, Mm-hmm. And I think it was T.D. Jakes says that we honor people when we pay them attention. We pay them attention. And so he goes on to say in his book how he's just getting rid of stuff and things have become lighter and lighter, and because of that, he was able to move to a smaller apartment.
How about that?
And he was able to move to an apartment, a location very few things that fostered the community that he moved into, fostered relationship. There was a community park, and he was able to really get the opportunity to take time now, because he had plenty of time because he decluttered all his life and all this stuff, to be able to enjoy relationship and do some of the things that they were not able to do before. And right now, when you look at it, you know, we have a lot of things that are cluttering our lives as Americans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have things that, you know, everything from, you name it, you know, furniture. And there's nothing like it going through a hurricane. I remember going through a hurricane, and you have the windows open. It's hot. Your house is like a sauna. It's actually hotter more inside your house than it is outside your house. Mm-hmm. You know, and you start looking at all this stuff and you're like, okay, there's no power for 10 days. How is any of this stuff going to help me? Right. I need cold water. I need cold air, and we need some food, you know? And you start realizing what are the things that we truly, truly need? And so it got me to think about, you know, if you were to be dropped on a remote island for 2 weeks, what items must you have, and why? I mean, you're in a remote island for 2 weeks. What must you have? Well, you're going to think, well, I'm going to eat food, right? Okay, that's okay. Water, okay, right? Shelter, you got a place to live. And maybe even a weapon to protect yourself from some wild animals or something, you know? Maybe a light source at night. What else would you need? Outside of that, I would say my Bible, my journal, and a pen. Right? But outside of those things, what else would you need? I'm talking as a believer, as a Christian. You're in a remote island. Now, obviously, in your environment is going to dictate some of the other needs that you're going to have. I mean, if you're living in a community and you need transportation, well, then transportation is a whole other ballgame. But what I find is that it's not necessarily the needs that get us in trouble. It's a lot of times the excesses, the material possessions, the you know, I know you needed a car, but did you need that car? You know what I'm saying? I know that you needed some clothes, but did you need those type of clothes? You know, I know that you needed shoes, but did you need the $150 pair of shoes? I mean, I knew that. I know that. And a lot of times these things get in our way. One of the main things is that it caters here, and especially in America, is comfort and convenience. If it's convenient and it brings us comfort, we're all for it. But my question is, you know, what would happen if we would begin, if you would begin to declutter your life? What would that look like for your walk with God? I've heard people say, you know, I don't have time to abide. I'm just so busy. I get work so late and they get up so early. And it's like, well, I'm not talking to you about getting rid of your sleep time. You need your sleep. I'm not talking about you giving up your work time, right? I guess you got to work. Just give up some of that TV time. Just give up some of that internet surfing time, or give up some of that me time. And you find that a lot of people have me time on their mind and on their life. But really, you start thinking about it. What would happen if you started to declutter and start pulling away from the things that are crowding in? Maybe it's material items, right? Maybe it's a digital clutter in your life. Maybe it's, you know, it's media and everything else that's it's pulling away. It could be even a relational clutter. I mean, so many people are trying to maintain relationships with like 10,000 people. Guess what? You're not everybody's friend, and not everybody's your friend. You need to know that you're only going to have a short list of a few friends in your life, and the rest of those folks, they're acquaintances. And there's different expectations for different roles and relationships. You can't be besties with everybody. It just doesn't work that way. As much as we would like to, we only have a certain amount of time. And, you know, what can we do with that? And so, you know, thinking about that really just got me to imagine and to really think, you know, this is nothing new. This is nothing new about living free from possessions. Now, you know, what I want to say, too, is that God doesn't mind you having possessions. The issue here is possessions that have you. And I've seen so many people, especially in the West, forfeit what God has for them. I've seen them lose their call. I've seen them lose their ministry. I've seen them even lose their relationship with God because they've allowed the things of this world to rob them mm-hmm. of the things that matter most. And we've talked about this, you know, quite a lot here on VFN TV and the Daily VFN radio program, the brevity and the fragility of life. I mean, you're here today, and it seems like almost like it, you're gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor.
Yeah.
And so we really got to start thinking, okay, all right, what are we going to do? Have you noticed when you read the Gospels and the Bible, Pat, that there's an expectation for those that come to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
It's leave everything behind.
That's right.
And come and follow me. That's what he told all the disciples. What the disciples? The fishermen, they dropped their nets.
Exactly mm-hmm. what they did.
Everybody else left their things, and they said, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to live free from all these things that hinder, all the stuff that crowds my life. Listen, if you're too busy to go after God, you're just simply too busy. Join us in the next program as we continue to unpack and talk more about this, how we can be free from the things that hinder and the things that are possessing us so that we can be free to go after God with everything we have. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and, of course, our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Here to encourage you in the studio is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Don't forget, we are four programs back to back. Of course, you can listen to us live wherever you're at VFNTV.com. And, of course, if you haven't had the chance, download the app. You can get that at VFNTV.com. If you have an iPhone, tablet, Android, or Windows, listen, whatever platform, we have it for you. Just download the app, get it, and, of course, share it with a friend. But in our previous program, we were talking about the blessedness of possessing nothing and about this article that Joshua, his name will be coming to me here in a minute, but Milburn wrote about, he wrote a book about being a minimalist. And in his book, he really thought, and in his life, he said that he needed to declutter it. And him and his friend were making six figures, at least $100,000 in their 30s, and they found that their career was meaningless. Mm. And that they needed to get the clutter and the stuff out their life. And really, that has to be the saddest thing, that when people find, you know, are working so hard to get to the top of this proverbial mountain that they think where all the riches and all the free, you know, career and all the glitz and the glamour, and it's like, I thought this would finally make me happy. You got the car, the job, the career, the fame, the whatever, and you're still cutting your hair off and jumping out of windows and still, because you know what? Stuff can't make us happy. Mm-hmm. And it's not about happiness, because happiness is just something that happens. It's really about the joy of the Lord and living a blessed life. You know, when we walk with God and live with God, we can have true joy, because although we may not know who holds, you know, what tomorrow holds, we know the one who holds tomorrow. And with that, we have great peace and great fulfillment when you're united with, hello, the King.
Right.
Well, in their writings, and they start to declutter, guys, they started asking themselves some serious questions. And this is what he writes. He says, when I got rid of the majority of my possessions, I was compelled to ask questions I wasn't prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
When did I give so much meaning to material possessions? He asks, what is truly important in life? And why am I discontented? And who is the person I want to become? How will I define my own success? He starts doing some serious soul searching, and he starts realizing, when did all this material possession mean so much to me? And you're looking at today, we're seeing so much of that today, you know, in America for sure, but we've even seen it crept in some of the church, where it's just like, as believers, material possessions have crowded so much of, you know, lives, and it's hindered and it's pulled away from the true work of God. But we were talking about how when believers in the Bible, the disciples came to Jesus, they dropped their nets.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. That's right.
Literally left their businesses. Left wherever, left their land, and followed hard after God.
And their families.
And families, everything. And Jesus is calling, you know, the problem too is this, that, you know, today believers want to go after Jesus, but they want to bring everything with them. And it's like,
hold on a second, I'm packing up everything. It's just like,
hey, bro, this is going to be a long journey, and that stuff ain't going to make it, you know. The eye of this needle here, I don't know, but you're going to have to let go some of that stuff. And Jesus is calling us to live a life with him, free of these trappings of the world, free of the things that hinder us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's one of the things and one of the reasons I believe why Jesus plainly told the disciples the truth right from up front. I mean, he always told the truth. He is the truth.
That's right.
But there wasn't no bait and switch gospel here. He said, you know, just let me, before you guys get all excited, let me tell you how this is going to go. And then you can let me know if you still want to do this, right? But Luke 9 says, then he said to them, if anyone, I know you guys are hanging around, I know this is cool, but if anyone would come after me, let me explain to you what this is all about, okay?
Uh-huh.
You must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. You can understand the analogy of what Jesus was describing there. When he's talking about taking up the cross, he's like, you need to come to a place of complete surrender, of you're not in control. You know what I'm saying? You got to come to this place of denial here. Understand this. He says, take up your cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very self? And I ponder on that and I think about that. And this is an elementary teaching. I mean, this is really a simple 101 Christianity. Listen, you just got saved. This is what it means. But sad to say, as Peter says, some of these things we just have to keep reminding, not only to ourselves, but to others, that we got to talk about, that, you know, No one promises you a bed of roses.
No, no.
Jesus is the prize. He is absolutely enough. We're under a delusion when we think that we're owed something or there's an expectation, you know, out of life. Hey, listen, life owes you nothing. Jesus owes you nothing.
Right.
We're indebted to him forever. We've been bought by the blood of Christ, and we're happy, happy to be, you know, in the kingdom and with the Father. And one of the biggest hindrances, I think in this nation is that we've allowed the blessing to overtake us. We've caught up with trying to keep up with the Joneses, maybe, and it's all this stuff, and we made it so difficult when you have all of these trappings, and we don't understand the true importance of wealth. I mean, when you think about America, and you think about all the wealth that comes out of America, when you think about all the billionaires that are here, when you think about the companies, the entrepreneurs, the products that come from America that are all over the world, I mean, they have Coke. Coke is on a world's missions tour, man. They have Coke in almost every nation.
Right.
I remember going, being in Israel, and this is not a far-fetched, but I'm in Israel, and I see Coca-Cola in Hebrew on the back of the sign somewhere, and they had, you know, all these Subway in Hebrew.
Right.
And it's just like, wow, this is just amazing to see all of these American companies in other countries, but we don't see other companies from, you know, Morocco and the United States. Like, what is that? We don't see that. But we're blessed, but we've truly misunderstood the importance of wealth and what we can do with it. I mean, if you were asked somebody today, listen, if you were given $5 million today, what would you do with that $5 million? And rest assured, most of it would be a list of how, you know, we could spend it on ourselves. You know, they would just spend it. I'm talking about maybe even a believer, right?
Right.
And sure, everyone says, yeah, well, I'll feed the poor. I'll take care of the homeless. You know, okay, after you do that, but really think about this. I'm saying, do you know specific ministries? Do you know specific organizations or people that are touching real needs in the world today? Do you know them right now? If God entrusted you with $5 million and said, here, where would you sell that? We don't understand the true understanding of wealth and how God wants us to use wealth for his kingdom, for his advancement. I mean, you think about it. And I started thinking about that. And, of course, I'm excited about what we're doing here on VFN TV because, you know, we're giving our lives to it. We're keeping the conversation light.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, we're helping people to abide with Jesus. We're saying, hey, listen, you need to not only have a relationship with him, but you need to spend time with him. You need to talk with him every day. And you need to take the time to write down what he is saying. Honor his voice. I mean, we're preparing the church prophetically, right, for what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly talking about winning souls and making disciples, blessing Israel. Would you know that in just getting ready to celebrate 3 years, we have discussed topics and issues relating Israel at least over 430 segments, over 400 segments just on Israel alone, talking about the apple of God's eye. We're talking about ending human trafficking. I mean, and so much more. And so here's one. You know, here's an organization that's doing something. There's other, organizations, that, of course, that are doing great works and ministries that are touching the world. But it just gets you to think of what would you do? What would you do? Where would you invest that?
Mm.
And you think about, I think about the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus. And he kneeled at his feet, Matthew 19 talks about. I mean, he just did the whole religious thing. He came to Jesus, kneeled at his feet. And he says, good teacher. Jesus had to quickly, you know, put him in check. Hey, there's nobody good. Why do you call me good? I'm the Father up above. And he asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives them, starts talking to him about the commandments. And, you know, and he says, you know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. And he's like, oh yeah, I've kept them all. I've kept them all. All these I've kept since I've been a young man. I've done it all. And then Jesus answered, you know, and he says, you still lack one thing. So he looked at him and loved him. He looked at him and loved him. He says, you still lack one thing. Still lack. And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. And when the man heard this, the Bible says he became very sad. And the truth is that many, I believe, are like that, that they esteem the riches of this world more than the riches of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They esteem more the treasures in this life mm-hmm. that are so fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I think about, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is Enron, the energy company in California. And who would have thought that an energy company was going to go bankrupt, you know, and they were cooking the books and doing all this stuff that was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people were just giving themselves to overtime and sacrificing their life and all these things that they missed only to have all of their retirement, everything just wiped away from them. And it's like, listen, mm-hmm. we're living for the wrong stuff. You know, only living for Jesus is what counts.
Well, it makes me think of like what you're saying earlier about Abraham. And like he understood that value of the eternal value and the internal value. And it's like when we have that understanding, it's just like I remember a season in my life when it's just like I was going through hardship and difficulty and just, you know, God was just taking me through a season. But it was in that moment when I realized that all I had was Jesus. That was when I realized that that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand, you have that perspective of the eternal treasure. I mean, I get caught up in thinking about that day so many times because I think about, I mean, we've talked about it before. It's just like, you know, what was success before we came to know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about these young guys, you know, they're 30 years old and they had a six-figure salary. And they encountered that, and they were left unfulfilled.
Yeah.
And it really gets you to thinking of all the wealth of the world and all the wealth of, you really think about the kingdoms and the dynasties and just the tycoons. And then you think about that day when we're going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to look at that, and all of that is just a vapor.
Yeah.
And you look at and compare it to the treasures of Jesus and his eternal glory and how awesome that day is going to be. And it gives us that much more of a perspective to live for that life.
Absolutely. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about, hey, listen, we gave you the scenario if you had a $5 million. Well, okay, maybe you didn't know. But why don't you try doing it with $5? Why don't you try doing it with $50? Okay, you don't have $5 million, but you can start today with what you have. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this, how we can live the life totally blessed, possessing minimal in this material possession, so that we can be rich towards the things in God. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
And so he's saying, listen, that's the reason why people who struggle, they struggle understanding this, is because they don't have faith in to know Jesus Christ, that this is real. That the presence is real. Somebody says, well, that ain't real. It's like, I'm healed, I'm forgiven, I'm blessed, I'm saved, you're sad. Listen, this is going to be the secret. Let me tell you the secret for what's about to happen. Stop being ashamed of Jesus. Stop being ashamed of the power of God. Stop being ashamed to pray in the Holy Spirit when God gives you the utterance. Be God's son and God's daughter. Isn't it interesting? He says you can talk about anybody you want to. You can say anything you want to. And you can even dog my name out. But if you talk against the Holy Spirit, you may never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven. And how many people attack the Holy Spirit? Ridicule. It's God's Spirit. You're talking about the heart of God. We wouldn't be in the condition that we're in right now if it wasn't for what we're preaching from the podiums or preaching from the microphones. It's the church that sets people free in the power of God. It's us. We're the ones that determines destiny. We're the ones that change the DNA of people's hearts that end up beginning to lead a nation in a different direction. It's Christ and us is the hope of glory. And so then it's the power of God. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm sending you the second counselor. I'm the first counselor. And I'm sending him so that you're going to have power, not just to do whatever, just to be my witness. So I witnessed of me. The Father witnessed of me. You see me. Now you be the witness of me. And you go tell somebody about me. You can't talk about somebody you don't even know. You can't talk about somebody you don't even believe in. You got to believe. This is not a fiction. This is real. God created everything. Did you see in heaven and earth? And he filled every bit of it. And he's the one that holds us together. He designed the very seasons and times that we would live only for one thing, to see if you would reach out and touch him. He's not far from you, but you won't even acknowledge him. Now is your day. I'm sorry for what the church has done, but you're still going to answer alone. By yourself, you can't blame anybody.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking and continuing our conversation about the blessedness of possessing nothing and living simplified lives so that we don't have anything that hinders us in our pursuit for God. And it's something that we in the West, we, those Christians that live in America, need to strongly consider, meditate, think about, and begin to start looking how we can declutter our lives, how you can take things that are robbing you, things that seemingly look good on the surface, but in view of eternity, when there's an audit of your time, when there's an audit of your things. You know, I often talk about, you know, the conversation that may occur across, you know, the dinner table in heaven, you know, that here you are in the United States and you have, you know, 3-4 flat screens, you know, 3 or 4 gaming systems, and then there's the brother and the sister from China or Hong Kong, where they're living in, you know, very cramped quarters. And we have a segment for you, To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. We're going to make sure that's related to you. And you see pictures of people living in cramped apartments in Hong Kong. I mean, stacked living room and kitchen and bedroom is in the same room. Three. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And how blessed we are. And then the Chinese or the brother from Hong Kong or Asia or India says, hey, John or, you know, Steve, you know, Pat, you know, we didn't know it's God's plan is amazing. You know, you happen to be born in America, and now we get to understand the fullness maybe of what God has created and how he allowed us to be born. And we've got the story behind the story, if you will. Mm-hmm. But while we were in China and you know, and the gospel, I mean, did you need the 4 TVs? Did you need the 4 gaming systems? Did you think that maybe if you would have sold one of those and gave it to us, we could have furthered more people? And it's like, that's a conversation. I don't know if it would happen, but that's a scenario that I don't want to happen for me personally. And it just causes you to think, wow, you know, as a Christian in this country, you know, much is required of us. Much is required of us. And we were talking about, Pat, about the rich young man and how when Jesus saw that the possessions that he had, although seemingly on the surface he was doing all these religious things and he had kept the commandments, Jesus knew that his true God was his material possessions. And that's why he said, hey, listen, you got to get rid of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Sell what you have and give to the poor. You're going to break that worship of material stuff. You're going to break that idol in your life, and you're going to do that for him. He had to get rid of everything. And he walked away sad. And then Jesus continues to talk with the disciples, and they're just amazed at what, you know, just happened. And Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, It is hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then the disciples were astonished, and they asked the question, who then can be saved? Mm. And Jesus' answers was remarkable, and it's still powerful today when he says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I think about what was shared at the Dream Center, you know, this Sunday regarding, you know, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so many ways that we try to come to God in our own flesh, power, might. Listen, it's only by God are you going to be able to come to God, do anything for God, Him alone. It's the only way. But if God's in it, then nothing is impossible. And then Peter says something interesting. I love Peter. He says, we have left. Hold up. If this is true now, wait a minute. Hold up. He had an epiphany. The light bulb went out. He said, hold up. Wait a minute. He said, we have left everything to follow you. Mm-hmm. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's saying, you guys have a special blessing. I'm going to hook you guys up.
All right.
But then he says, then he opens the gate real wide, and he says, and everyone. Who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Jesus is putting an emphasis that, listen, it is absolutely 100% okay to leave everything for me. Because when you leave everything for me, you will truly find life itself. And I think about an amazing missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. And he's written about in a book called Revolution to World Missions, KPU Hand in Gospel for Asia, put this book out. And in it, he says that C.T. Studd, the famous British athlete and founder of Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, was one who gave up all his achievements in this life for Christ's sake. I believe he was an Olympian, and he kind of gave it all up. And he was challenged to his commitment to go hard after God by an article that was written by an atheist. And I want you to read this. I want you to listen to this article, and I want you to see if it challenges you. But this is what an atheist wrote. If I firmly believed, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of religion in this life influences destiny in another, then religion would mean to me everything. I would cast away earthly enjoyments as dross, earthly cares as follies, and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Religion would be the first waking thought and my last image before sleep sank me into unconsciousness. I should labor in this cause alone. He goes on to say, I want to make sure I get it for you, for heaven is worth a life of suffering. Earthly consequences would never stay my hand or seal my lips. Earth, its joy, its griefs would occupy no moment of my thoughts. I would strive to look upon eternity alone and on immortal souls around me, soon to be everlasting, happily or everlasting miserable. I would go forth to the world and preach it in season and out of season. And my text would be, this is what the atheist text would be, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Listen, if that's what an atheist would say,
wow,
what can we say Let's go after God with everything we have. Let's declutter the things that hinder us and are pulling us away, and let's live like minimalist, decluttered lives, following Jesus as he leads us, the captain of the hosts, the leader, the king, and let's advance his kingdom together. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. Is there something, you know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And yeah. He did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did, sure, that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in
a
sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God,
forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.